Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, good morning, good morning. And happy Father's Day to all of you fathers out there, near and far, in this Blog Talk Radio family. We thank God for you, we praise God for you, and we just lift up your name before the Father this morning. But mainly we are lifting up the Father's name because he is worthy. He is really the only Father that is worthy, truly is worthy to be praised this morning. He's the one that gave his only begotten Son that we would have access to the tree of life. Lord, we just thank you this morning. We just praise you and we glorify your name. We honor you this morning for all that you have done at Calvary, all that you are doing even right now for us, that we may have eternal life. You showed us the way. You are the way to eternal life. We thank you this morning. We ask you, O God, to bless us with hearing, bless us with seeing, bless us with receiving this morning, and bless us with doing this morning. In the mighty name of Jesus, praise you. Glory to God. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you so much, granddaughter. Let us pray and we'll go into worship. Oh, Father, we just thank you right now. Oh, God, we praise you, O God, our Father who art in heaven. Hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debt as we forgive our debtors. Lord, lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever and ever. Amen. Father, we thank you. We thank you, O God, for granting us another Father's Day. Lord, it could have been the other way around. We could have been in the grave. We could have been in prison. We could have been in the hospital. Lord, we could have been crossed over from the COVID, but Lord, you kept us. Lord, didn't even let us have any symptoms, Lord, that you kept us in the midst of all. Oh, Jesus. In the midst of. You kept us in the midst of all the storms that were going on. You kept us, and you kept us safe from every sickness and every disease that would have tried to take us out. And Father, we thank you because you are a good, good Father. Oh, God, and we worship you this morning. We honor you. To you, Lord Jesus. To you, Lord Jesus. We honor you. Oh, let's just enjoy the presence of the Lord right now. Oh, we love you. We bless you. Oh,
Your name. I see faces to your name.
Hallelujah, Jesus. Holy Spirit, fall in this place. Holy Spirit, fall in this place as we come and worship you. We are so excited this morning that the Lord Jesus, our Savior, Yeshua, Yahweh, has given us one more day to be in the land of the living. We are grateful this morning. It could have been the other way around, but he allowed us to enter in this morning. And we just want to say thank you, Father. Thank you, Father, for another day. Oh God, we ask that you would allow us to speak with clarity this morning, that whosoever hear your word would understand, that they would receive your word, that they would run with it. Hallelujah, Jesus. And declare your truth. Father, we ask that you bless my eyes, my ears, and my lips are clear this morning as we speak on this Father's Day. We want to wish all the fathers that are near and far, in the north, the south, the east, and the west, if you hear this word this morning, this word is for you, even for you mothers. Know that we have a Heavenly Father that cares for us enough to send his only begotten Son to die on a cross, to be nailed, to be pierced, to be crowned with thorns, to be spat upon, so that we would have access to the tree of life, to the fountain of life, the fountain of living water, which is Jesus Christ. And we thank God. We thank you, Father. We thank you. We had a thousand tongues. We could not thank you enough. We're going to be talking about Yahweh, the perfect Father. Yahweh, the perfect Father. We know that mankind may be fathers. There may be fathers here. Men may be fathers on earth, earthly fathers, but they're not perfect. That's why they treat sometimes, end up treating their children, abusing their children, mistreating their children, and even killing their children because they're not perfect. But God is perfect. He gave his life for his children. Now, we want to bring in a scripture here that the Lord allowed me to look at last night and this morning. We'll look at Genesis chapter 1 and just start at verse 26. We're talking about Yahweh, the perfect Father. And the Bible said, and God said, let us make humankind or mankind, let us make man. Some version says, let us make man and woman in the climax of God. Let us make mankind in our own image and according to our likeness, and let them rule over the fish of the sea and over the birds of the heaven and over the cattle and over all the earth and over every moving thing that moves upon the earth. So God created humankind or man in his image. In the likeness of God created him, he him. In the likeness of God, he created him, male and female, and he created them. And God blessed them, and God said to them, be fruitful and multiply, and fill the earth and subdue it, and rule over the fish of the sea and the birds of the heaven, and over every animal that moves upon the earth. Verse 29 says, and God said, look, I am giving to you every plant that bears seed, which is on the face of the whole earth, and every kind of tree that bears fruit, they shall be yours as food. Verse 30 says, and to every kind of animal of the earth, and to every bird of the heaven, and to everything that moves upon the earth, in which there is life, I am giving every green plant as food. And it was so. And God saw everything that he had made, and behold, it was very good. And there was evening, and there was morning, the sixth day. Now we look at this text here, and the Bible says, I'm looking at the Logos Bible, and he said here, we're going to go somewhere from here, but let's see what he says. He said, let us make the occurrence of us in this passage has been understood to refer to the plurality of the Godhead, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. This understanding would have been unknown to the authors of the Old Testament. Another possible explanation is the so-called plural of majesty. But this type of grammatical usage is more common for nouns and adjectives than verbs. A simpler explanation is that us reflects an announcement by the single God of Israel to a group in his presence, the heavenly host. Other Old Testament passages support the idea of a heavenly host or divine counsel. In Psalm 29 verse 1, Psalm 82 verse 1, this explanation also applies to Genesis chapter 11 verse 7. The phrase or image then means that the members of the heavenly host also reflect the divine image, the likeness of God, verse 27. Being created in the image of God distinguishes the people from all other earthly creation. God's image is not described as being possessed in part or given gradually. Rather, it is an immediate and inherent part of being human. The animals do not possess this. Like somebody said yesterday, animals are not in God's image, only human kings, humans or mankind. There is no status distinction among bearers of the divine image. They are equal while having capacities and rules in fulfilling the divine mandate to steward the earth. Man is created to take care of the earth. He created them. The Hebrew verb used here, bara, is the same word used in Genesis chapter 1:1. However, the plural declaration, let us make, in verse 26, uses a different verb. The verbs for make, asa, and form, yaksa, are also used elsewhere with bara to refer to God's work as creator. In chapter 1 and 2. In chapter 2, yet another verb is used for the fashioning or making or creating of Adam. Yatsa. These verbs as synonyms as verse 1. Verse 28 says, be fruitful and multiply as with the animal's kingdom, humanity is created to be fertile. Hear what he's saying. The capacity for sexual reproduction is cast as a divine blessing. So God has blessed women with the womb and man with the seed to create or establish the earthly kingdom by producing seed of its kind. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So here we are talking about the perfect Father, Yahweh, the perfect Father. He is perfect. Man is maybe a father to many children, but he's not perfect. Only Yahweh, God, is perfect. He is the Heavenly Father. What is perfect? The Bible says he's perfect in all his ways. You can't find a way of man, a way of mankind that you can say that he's perfect. No, he's not. Not in one of his ways. He's an imperfect being created by a perfect being. Man is supposed to control everything that's on the earth. He has a divine blessing from the Heavenly Father to create and multiply. He subdue it and rule over. These terms indicate active power or rule involving physical force or effort in Jeremiah 34 and 19. Esther chapter 7 and verse 8. Joshua chapter 18 and verse 1. Isaiah chapter 14 and verse 2. Ezekiel chapter 29 and 15. You will see all this inside the book. It's right there in the book. God wants us as men, as fathers. He given us the seed, but given us the given women, the female, the womb to receive the seed, so they could multiply. So God gave them instructions. The Heavenly Father gave the Earthly Father the instruction to be fruitful and multiply. This is why I can't see, because people don't understand. Most of these folk that in power and the governmental offices do not believe in God. They don't believe in the whole law. They must say, well, I'm a Catholic. Well, they don't believe in the same God. Listen to me. Some folk on the other side will be mad with me for saying this, but let them get mad. If you've got a problem, go talk to God.
The Catholic does not worship the same God that you worship. If you worship Jesus, they worship Mother Mary and they worship Lucifer. They don't worship the same God that we worship. You must first understand that. So this is why they can sanction, be in agreement with abortions and all that stuff, because they don't. God told man this was the first order he gave man, to be fruitful and multiply. That's the first order, the first command that he gave to man, to be fruitful, man and woman. He didn't just give it to man, but to man and woman, he gave them to be fruitful and multiply. He gave woman the seed, the womb, and he gave man the seed. Woman had the womb to receive the seed. Where the seed is germinated inside by God to make the child, the girl child or boy child. Now he told them, now the seed-bearing plants and fruit trees created on the third day are here designated as food for the people God has just created. When God gives you a position, supply you with the produce or the product that you will need to fulfill that position. God is not going to let us go and don't have what we need. That's not the God I serve. So even when we come into a place that we're not feeling right, God comes in and he gives us the medication that we need. You don't even know that angels come at your side at nighttime, and they minister to you. They minister to us when we're not feeling good. Hallelujah. I tell you that I just told my baby, I said, I need to pick up some Epsom salts, because that's one of the things we used when I was back in the Caribbean. I used to take a shower. We got one shower and one in the master bathroom, and it was a stand-up shower. And then in the other bathroom, we got a shower head and tub and all that stuff. So I said, well, I want to get the Epsom salts because I want to start doing what we used to do, lay down in the tub with hot, warm water, not hot because it burns your skin up. And as you get older, your skin becomes much sensitive to heat and hot and cold. So I said, get me up some Epsom salt so I can start having a warm tub. And that Epsom salt will soothe your muscles, all the pains in your ligaments, it will soothe you. And all your muscles will become loose and very tender, painful, but they will be very. I got my beautiful granddaughter here. She's so beautiful. She's tall now. Getting taller. But we're thanking God. We're talking about Yahweh, the perfect Father. And we're coming out of Genesis. It's the first scripture we're hitting here. Genesis chapter 1, verse 26 to 31. And we're working this verse down, and then we're going to go on some other things. We're going to talk about creation and all that stuff and where we at right now. How the movies, how the Hollywood has changed the whole scenario of lifestyles. Hollywood, we watch all this stuff, and people are gravitate to what they see and what they hear more than what God has said and what God is saying. They gravitate to what the world is saying. So Hollywood show all how now they're telling you now they got they're running all these commercials and stuff with men and women clothes and high heel shoes and lipstick and blush on their face and all that stuff, and they say that's okay. See, so once they put that stuff in, once Hollywood put it out there, then the world begin to pick it up and suck it up. And they say, well, it's okay, because times are evolving, times are changing. But God's word doesn't change. God's word remains the same. He said, I'm the same yesterday, today, and forevermore. He's one Father that never changes. He loves his children in spite of however they are. Even when we are sinning, God still loves us, because the Bible says so, that while we were yet sinners, God commended his love towards us, that while we were yet sinners, he sent his son Jesus. Romans chapter 5 and verse 8. His son came down and laid down his life. Well, that meant he was still loving us. He was still loving us because he's a perfect Father. He chastises us. He reprimands us, but he still loves us. Even when we go so far on the left or to the right, we go so far away from him, he still loves us. We cannot do anything bad enough to stop God from loving us. You will not be able to enter in, but God still loves you. He'll love you while he's seeing you taking yourself to, seeing us taking ourselves to hell, because he's not going to send us nobody to hell. We are going to take ourselves to hell by the way we live, not honoring God's word. Remember the song I played first? All honor and glory belongs to him. Yes, God gave us some glory. The glory, the power, the anointing that he put upon our life is glory for us to fulfill the assignment that he gave us, but not for us to think that we are gods. Are we bigger than him or better than him? Hallelujah. So here, back in here, he gave them all the food that they needed. He provided everything for them. Remember when he sent the disciples out to go and preach and teach the gospel? He told them, don't carry two of this and two of that. You know, I'm just paraphrasing. I'm just hearing this in my spirit. He said, don't carry this and carry that. And I like to say, don't take two, because you know we like to carry three and four suitcases. Because when we get where we go, we want to have all the dresses, all the shoes, all the wigs, all the fingernail polishes. We can tear red polishes today to make the red dress and green polishes to make the green dress and the green shoes. And the men, they got all the shoes and the different color shoes to make the master suits and all. And we have all these more than we need. Jesus said, don't know that. Then you go and just take one of everything that you need. Just one. Say, don't even think about writing the sermon. Say, don't write the script. That's the sermon. Say, because when you get where you're going, I'm going to give you what you need. God always provides for us. We forget that. Sometimes we complain, well, I don't have this. What am I going to do now? If God wants us to go somewhere, wants to do something, I guarantee you, he's going to provide for you. I remember in 2017, the Lord, thank you, Holy Ghost, God told me he wanted me to go back to Africa. And I didn't know how I was going to do it. But all I knew that God said he wanted me to go back there. You know? And all of a sudden, my brother and sister heard from God. Yes, my brother and sister heard from God. That's why I know you can't cause me. You can't cause me to say anything bad about them. You can't cause me to. I don't know anything bad about them. But you can't put no thought, you know. You can't put no thought in my mind to cause me to say something bad about them. No. One thing I'm going to do is I'm going to shut your mouth up. I'm going to shut your mouth up, and I'm going to tell you, don't come to me talking about my sister or my brother. I'm going to tell you straight up, you don't have to be my friend no more. Because you being my friend ain't going to get me to heaven. But I'm telling you something, you're not going to cause me to do any illness or say any ill talk or even carry an ill talk in my mind against my brother or sister, because I know they heard from God. And I was able to go to Africa. And I will never forget that as long as I live. As old as I get, I'll never forget that. I know they hear from God. Because God told me I had to go back. And I said, God, if you want me to go back, I'm still talking about Yahweh, the perfect Father. I said, God, if you want me to go back to Africa, you got to make a way, because you know I don't have the funds. And my credit was not as good as it is right now, because every day my credit is going up. I was just looking at it yesterday, and it's 694 or 95. It's going up, come up from 300 and something. This is what God is doing. So people are running me down with credit cards, running me down. And I said, okay, Lord, I'll get this when I get that one. Because, you know, when things come, I can be able to move when I want to move. But so here in this word, we're talking about in Genesis chapter 1, verse 26 to 31. We're talking about this God that created man in his likeness. Somebody come on yesterday. I was laughing. Because these folk go on. That's why I say you can't go to every table. You cannot go to every table and eat. Especially when you're young. And without understanding, you eat it from everybody's table, and everything you hear, you run off with. Don't even seek God with it. Come on, say, but God created man in his own image. That's right. It's true. That's what the Bible says. And God created the animals in his image. There's no way in the Bible. There's no way in the Bible you can find it. God made animals, but he didn't create them in his image. Animals don't have a soul. Listen to what he says. None in this Bible. My pastor, that one good nugget my pastor gave me when I was a baby in the crib. When I was in the crib, he told me, son, if it's not in the Bible, don't tell me. Don't say it. It's got to line up with God's word. And the only place I see is God created in his image is man. One time. That's on the sixth day. And the seventh day he rested. It's in the Bible. And they run off after the woman preached such a powerful message. You come out with that stupid stuff. Come out with that stupid. Try to always bring something to message block talk. Always try to bring something. Bring, come and talk. Give some credence to what is being spoken instead of bringing something from this body and that body and what you read over here, what you see over here, and all this kind of foolishness. Just don't line up with God's word. The Bible said he told them. He gave them everything that, he gave them instruction of everything that he had already prepared for them. If we would look back and see and look at the word and God and see that we have a Father that's already prepared everything that we would ever need in this earth realm, he has already prepared for us. We don't have to look at no place and just look to our Father. Look to our Father. We got a good, the songwriter said we got a good Father. He said the seed-bearing plant and fruit trees created on the third day are here designated as food for the people. God has just created. God made sure that they wouldn't lack anything. And the totality of the order, creation, meets the expectation of its creator. God is pleased with the results of his actions. God is happy. When God looked around and see the trees, he was pleased. When he saw the animals, he was pleased. When he saw that man was like him, in all his glory, man was made perfect. Hallelujah. Man was perfect. It was just like God. God walked and talked with man in the cool of the day until sin into the heart of man. Until man allowed himself to be deceived by that wicked demon Satan, then man become imperfect. Everything was imperfect about him. He couldn't stay in that place of perfection. He could not no longer stay in the place of perfection. Had God had to run him out. See, the garden of paradise is perfected. It's perfected for God and the Holy Ghost. And when you become imperfected, imperfect, you had to move out. God had to put you out. Now we got to get back to that place of perfection through the blood of Jesus Christ. We got to get back to that place. That's the only way we can get back into right standing with God. We can now get back into the garden. We can now enter into the garden by the blood. Hallelujah. Here, I was looking at something yesterday. And I said, imagine the earth being annihilated. This climactic scene plays out in sci-fi movies or in scenarios of a wayward asteroid crashing into earth surface. But if it's also part of the standing Bible prophecy foretold to occur unless God intervenes with men's affairs. Men are planning all types of stuff that did not line up with God, with God's word. In the book of Malachi chapter 4, verse 5 and 6, he said, behold, I will send you Elijah the prophet before the coming of the great and dreadful day of the Lord. Now the Bible talks about two witnesses in the book of Revelation. Elijah is one and Moses is the other. And he says, and he shall turn the hearts of the fathers to the children and the hearts of the children to the fathers, lest I come and smite the earth with a curse. See, we got to have the spirit of Elijah. We need the spirit of Elijah in the earth realm to turn the hearts of the fathers and the hearts of the children. Excuse me. Today, in today's ministry, the majority of them, they're not concerned about the hearts of the fathers or the children. They're more concerned about the hearts, the pocketbooks of the fathers. And the pocketbooks of the mothers. How much will they give? What can we do to cause them to want to give more on Sunday morning, on Wednesday night, on Friday night? That's all they're concerned about. Telling you stuff about prosperity, more prosperity. Oh, you will have this. What's the point of having this big mansion with 18-foot ceilings, cathedral ceilings, and the best fanciest kitchens and bathrooms and all of this, the great foyers and marble floors and all this stuff, marble foyer and floors and all this stuff. What's the point of having the best furniture and the best electronic components in the home if your heart is jacked up and you're on your way to burst hell wide open? What's the point of having all these things when you're not obedient to the Father? What's the point? You're going to end up in hell. Well, we know Satan is the father too, because the Bible calls him the father of lies. So if you're obedient to him, to the father of lies, where are you going to go? Head of hell. But though these leaders are not teaching them, teaching the people how to live holy, how to reverence God. Remember we talked that song, we talked, all honor, all glory, all power, all honor, all glory to you. We started singing that this morning because he's the father that deserves our worship. He deserves our worship. You got today, we're living in a world where sons and daughters are killing mothers and fathers. And fathers and mothers are killing their sons and daughters. But we have a father. We have a father in heaven that loved us so much that he didn't set it for us to die. He sent his son so we have an opportunity to the tree of life, to the water, the living water, to the fountain of life. In spite of how we are and was, he still sent his son to die for us. Father's here, the concern of, let me see if I can get the Harley Davidson motorcycle. Oh, you know, this is summertime. I don't have time to hang out with my kids and show my kids the way to living holy or being a righteous man, to be a man that when he get married, he'll take care of his family. And so they're not teaching the kids that stuff. The young kids today growing up and all they're going out and looking to cause trouble. Young men looking, not all of them, but a lot of them, because we have some good young men. I can talk about one I saw recently. I saw a couple of years ago, Pastor Washington. She got a grandson. You look at the young man. He's like a little Jan, baby Jan. I mean, tall and just as big, but he's got a heart like a child. Very humble. Well, he's not going to, I can guarantee I die and go to heaven, he's not going to join no gang. He's not going to join no gang because he has not been raised with that mentality. He has been taught, he has been instructed how to be respectful. These kids today, the parents are not spending no time with the kids. They want to have a Harley Davidson, they want a Honda motorcycle or something so they can run out in the summertime and run out acting the fool. They want to go to the nightclub. My daughter-in-law just get a message. She said she went up for the first time with her girlfriend because, you know, since my son is confined, she been taking care of the little girl and working from home. She ain't had nowhere to go. Couldn't go nowhere. So now the baby's up here. She comes up every year, and she's up here for a couple of weeks. They're going up now, going to my mother-in-law's house. So she went up to her girlfriend with her girlfriend last night. She just got that new phone, not about two months. Man, that's a $1,400 phone, that new iPhone. I mean, even more. And how you going to get up and go to the bathroom and leave your phone on the table? Nobody don't leave the phone behind. How many people put that phone in their pocket by the time they move? And if you're a woman, women go to the bathroom with their pocketbook, or purse, whatever you call it, and they will put the phone. She needed a phone on the table. That was the last time she saw that phone. She had to use her sister phone this morning to call and tell my wife that she. I was so upset right there. I said, "Well, what's she thinking?" Oh, I said, "Well, the first time she went out for 2 years. You got to use sense. You got to use common sense. The only place I leave my phone." And I leave it home sometime. I go. I say, well, I want to take the phone me. I'm going to leave the phone behind. I ain't expecting no emergencies. I really don't. I said, sometimes you got to train yourself sometime because you get too hooked up with this technology. You can't do nothing without them. You can't go to the bathroom with them. You got to take a shower. They're in the bathroom with you. You know, you're eating at the table with you. I mean, you got to leave the phone sometimes. Turn that phone off sometimes. Just have time with you and your family, not the phone ringing. You know, I don't want to hear pastor. I don't want to hear bishop. I don't want to hear evangelist. I don't want to hear teacher. Just turn the phone off. Say, no, I don't care if Pastor Cannon call me or not. Phone turn off. Turn off the phone for an hour, half an hour. Say, no, I'm busy. This me and my husband, this me and my wife. We're going to spend this hour together. Me and God. I'm in the room with God alone. I don't want the phone ring. You know. Do that sometimes.
Amen.
Sometimes I go with my honey. I mean, my honey go. I said, honey, she don't leave her phone behind. I told her she's not going to leave that phone behind. It'd be an earthquake. I'll tell you the truth. Tall she ain't going to leave that phone behind. I said, honey, she ain't got any phone. I said, no, I'm not taking that phone, baby. That phone, I'm going up with you. You can have your phone. But I tell you, this time I'm spending with you. I don't want a phone. Sometimes when I'm in the room and I'm going into with God, I leave the phone, put the phone in the living room. I said, I ain't going to touch that phone. I turn it off. It's not going to disturb me. You have to, sometimes you have to say, well, this is me and God. This hour is for me and God. I don't want it. And answering the phone, turn off the phone. I'm going to the store with my husband or wife. I'm going to be going up to all you can eat or something. Leave that phone home. Leave it home. Ain't nothing that you can't get back to. So I do that. But here we look here and see how Hollywood is changing everything. These sci-fi movies, and they're showing you a lot of stuff to keep your mind so messed up. Now, the end of the Old Testament, we read the scripture there just now, that we talked about, God talked about him returning because of the stuff that's going on in the earth. And he said that, look, unless that the prophets begin to prophesy and begin to put the word out to change the hearts of the fathers and the children, he said he'll put a curse upon the earth. It's right there in the book. You wonder why we got all these plagues coming. There's a plague coming out of the place. Tornadoes, hurricanes, storms, all kind of stuff. Volcanoes erupting. Why? Because the sin that's in the earth. And Father is warning us. He's warning the children. He's warning the fathers that you got to take a change. You got to make a change. You got to examine your own hearts. Your hearts are hardened. You got stiff-necked. Says that could mean that you're doing things your way, your own way, your way, my way, not highway, that we said, my way or the highway. Now God says if you don't go my way, you're going to go to hell. He's a good father, but he's also a father that gives correction. Listen, glory to God. These ominous words make clear that the planet's survival hinges on one thing, fatherhood. Fathers must get back to being fathers. We don't have time for our children. A lot of time we leave our wives at the house, we leave our wives at home and go with a side chick. They call them a side chick. That's what they call it. I don't like calling women chick anyway. But I saw one guy would put something on Facebook yesterday. Supposed to be some kind of minister or something. But I had to erase it off to my page. And he's saying calling the woman the B-word. And they were saying that these bees are so-and-so. And I said, wow, he's supposed to be some kind of minister, some elder or something. I mean, talking like that about women. How would you like somebody call your mama or your daughters that kind of nicknames, you know? And I just erase them off my face. But this is how the world is, turning the people, even the people that so-called people of God are talking like the world. When he said, come out from among them and touch not the unclean thing, and I'll receive you to myself. God wants us to be different. We ought to be the light of the world and the salt of the earth, but we are not acting. The Father said, I've given you everything that you need. Look, Ben Genesis, he said, I've given you everything that you need, the fruit, the plants, the herbs, everything I've given you for life to sustain you. I've even given you the instruction how you ought to be living, how you ought to talk. I've given you all the instructions, but we find ourselves deviating from the way of God, moving into another direction. You know, proclaiming that we are all this in a bag of chips and a Pepsi Cola, but we are nothing. We're not even the match trick. We're nothing because we are moving away from God. And when we move away from God, the less we become. Look at the world as it is. It's moving away from the Father. When children move away from the instruction of the Father, what they do, they become just like the world. They end up going back and forth into prisons, into jails, into hospitals, into cemeteries, because they're moving away from instructions from the earthly Father. So when we move away from instruction from the heavenly Father, what do you think happened? It's worse. It's worse. Because he's the ultimate ruler. He has the ultimate, he's the ultimate source of survival. But when we move away from him, We are moving away from life. That's what we're doing. Now, before dismissing this as allegorical Hebrew literature, consider the current impact of the lack of good fathers. As many as 7 out of every 10 youths in state correctional facilities came from fatherless homes. According to the United States Department of Justice, in addition, a staggering 85% of all children who exhibit some type of behavioral disorder comes from a fatherless home, as do 90% of children who run away from home or become homeless. Girls who live in a fatherless home are 2 times more likely to experience obesity and are 4 times more likely to become mothers before age 20. National Public Radio reported fatherless children are more likely to smoke and abuse alcohol and drugs in childhood and adult. Any society that continues along this path will not have to wait for God to exterminate it. It will destroy itself. Jesus have mercy. Ooh. If fathers only understood the crucial significance of their role, a stable family unit is the foundation of a stable world. Do you hear that? Let me read that again. A stable family unit is the foundation of a stable world. In other words, if the father is in the house, the father and the mother setting the standard for the children will grow up to set a standard for their children and their children's children. Now, so we will get a better world. But we find that they have most of our young men are in prisons or jails or cemeteries. So there's no father. I was watching a movie last night, and it was called The Hostage. Very good movie. You know, I don't think I heard one curse word in that movie. If you ever get a chance to watch it, watch it. And it was somewhat about fathers. And the little boy was talking about his mother got killed by the gangsters. His uncle had stole a lot of money from the cartels. And he came to his sister's house. But she was there with her little boy, and they were trying to go through the desert, somewhere through the desert over there by, you know, where the wall is, somewhere up there, Arizona, somewhere there, way up there. And then they're going through the Mexican desert somewhere, some day. And anyway, the cartel caught up. They went through a fence, and the brother got shot. He had this bag of money because the uncle had went another way to get away from the cartel, and they went after the mother and the little boy. But the little boy said something was very profound after his mother died. He said, why did this happen? They had to kill my mama. He didn't understand. He didn't know that this money was there in their presence because the mother died and left them. And she says to the man, this man that picked them up on the road, says, everything that I have, you can have. The blood was all over this bag, like a big handbag, packed with bones and bones of money. And he didn't even know the money was in the bag, the guy that picked him up. So he just looked and see the blood with the bag. And he looked in and see. And the little boy says, why they had to kill my mama? So the man is trying to take the little boy now to somewhere, to Texas, somewhere over there, because he had some family over there in Texas somewhere. Somewhere, I can't remember the exact place. But either way, the man starts talking to the little boy. He says, well, where is your father? And he said it was so profound. I said, wow. And I'm thinking tomorrow is Father's Day. See, my father wasn't there for me. But I thank God that I had a mother that was a praying mother. Even though she didn't have much, she was father and she was mother to me. I don't miss my father as much as I miss my mother when it comes to Father's Day. I don't miss my father that much. I miss my mother. I tell you, on Mother's Day, I weep, you know, because I feel so alone. Now she's not there. But in the spirit, I could feel her. I could feel her presence. Every day I could feel her. Even when I open my Bible, I got a picture in the first page of my Bible. Her picture's there. And she's been gone for umpteen years. And the little boy said that his father was killed before he was born, while he was in his mother's womb. That's what his mama told him. So he didn't have a father figure to even instruct him how to live. And all he had was his mother. But his mother raised him the right way. And he couldn't understand why. Because he knew his mama was a good woman. Good mother. She was mother and father. And sometimes there's a lot of people that are good out there in this world and they didn't have a father because they had a mother that was a mother and a father. She taught them the right way. But then again, you've got a lot of mothers and fathers out there that don't take care of the children, don't care nothing for the children. They're caught up in another lifestyle, the lifestyle of drugs and whoredom and all that kind of stuff. But we need fathers to come back into the homes. And begin, even if you're not intimate with the mother, get back and know that they are your sons and your daughters and begin to coach them. Show them the way. Even if you didn't walk the right path, begin to show them the way. You know, I tell my kids all the time. I got a granddaughter here. She's from Washington, Virginia metropolitan area. She's up here. And she loved her grandpa. She loved me like I was her father. And she said, Grandpa, you go? I said, no. Grandpa going to be teaching on the church line today. She said, okay, Grandpa, I'll see you when I come back. And she is so obedient because that's the way that she is being taught, you know, to honor and respect. Before could I spend that kind of time? Even with her father in confinement, her mother is training her that way. She can't be disrespectful. And she will not be disrespectful. We have to train them up. And these young men need to come back. Go back. Say, well, I don't want her. And they say, well, I'm not in tune with that being. You know, they call the young women all of these names. They get them pregnant, and then they see them as bees. You understand what I'm saying? And they see them as that after they get them pregnant two or three times, and the women are so stupid, they'll go back with them. Oh, I like him so much. He beat them up, breaking the face and all that, and they'll go back with them. They'll find the man would just walk away from them and leave them because I want a woman that don't have a child yet. She fine. Her breast is still standing firm and all. Her behind is still crisp and all that kind of stuff they're pulling on. They're going after and leave the woman with the children. To raise. And then she brings out her anger on the children because the father is not there to help her to raise the kids. So now she's not even pouring her love. Most of them not pouring their love into the kids to show them like I could be mother and father to you. Here in this text here, we see that girls without fathers around become obese in their bodies. And they become mothers early. Any society that kind of continues along this path will not have to wait for God to exterminate it. It will destroy itself. This is true. We're looking and seeing these girls today with earrings and nose rings and belly rings and all this stuff, and then they're getting infection from all of this stuff. Because if you don't sterilize all of these different piercings and stuff from time to time, they pick up all types of contaminants on them, and they start getting infection in the eyelids and the earrings and all this stuff, and nose ring, and all this stuff start rotting. We need to get the children, the men back in the homes. As a family structure, this is to integrate. Conditions of society decline. Today, families are not like when we were growing up. We didn't have much. I remember when my mama would take a little bit of flour. You know, I can't grow up in a poor family. We had families on the other side. My mother's sister, they had money. They had money, but we didn't have no money. My mama was a domestic servant. They call them a domestic servant. I call them a slave. She raised white people, children. That's what she did. Wash their clothes, cook their food, take them to school and all that stuff, make sure they get to school and all that stuff. She raised the white people, children. People came down from America, from England, and the Canada, and they built homes in the Caribbean and the Barbados, and then they hired the women to cook their food, because they couldn't cook their food, wash their clothes, and raise their children. Hallelujah. And sometimes they would hire the little boys to mow their lawns and wash their cars and all that stuff, giving a few dollars. But here, we need our young men to come back. Why does God place such importance in fathers and families? He originated the family structure. The husband was made to be the leader in his home, with his wife offering crucial support. In Genesis chapter 2, verse 18, Genesis chapter 2, verse 24, describes the regular family building process. A man leaving his father and mother to join a wife and start his own family. Notice all the specific familiar roles, fathers, mothers, and wife, and a husband, children, and grandparents, by extensions, were all explained in this one verse. The process of repeats as children from the new family have sons and daughters of their own. Genesis chapter 1 and 28. Now, sadly, many men have abdicated this God-given leadership duty, whether due to ignorance or bad priorities. The result is the same. The traditional family unit is broken, which is breaking future generations. In many cases, this is the result of men not taking the lead, because nature abhors a vacuum. Women and children are taking the reins. Isaiah chapter 3 and verse 12. Yet fathers should not resign themselves to failure. Realize that God is also a father. Jesus Christ said, "Be you therefore perfect, even as your Father, which is in heaven, is perfect." Matthew chapter 5, verse 48. We must draw our perfection from God as fathers. We must take on his very characteristics. In other words, we must look at God's instructions, the way he has done things. Go back to the book of Genesis and begin to imitate God. Look in the book of Matthew and see how much God loves his children. I always say that God needed his children back. He needed a family, the family that he created that deserted him by sin or through sin. He wanted his family back. This father never gave up on his family. Father God, Yahweh, the perfect Father, Yahweh, has never given up on his family. That's why he sent, or we said, plant his seed, the seed of his only begotten Son, John 3:16. He planted into the earth realm so that it will die and it will germinate in the earth and it will bring up much fruit. The fruit is everyone that receives him as Lord and Savior. They come back to God. So he wanted his family up. That's why we have have seed time and we have harvest time. So we have the plant, sowing, planting, and reaping. Okay? So what happened is God sowed Jesus into the Heavenly Father, this perfect Father. Yahweh sowed his son into the earth at Calvary, to die on the cross. And now the harvest is you and I, we, us. That's the harvest. All those that believe on him, because he is the way, the truth, and the life. No one can come to the Father except through him. Now, the reason God gives himself the same level as the head of a physical family is spectacular beyond imagination. It also means men looking to be better dads and husbands do not have to guess what it takes. We can look to the Father in heaven for guidance. See, we are looking too much at the television. We're looking too much at YouTube. We're looking too much at Instagram, Periscope, Netflix, and all of these television and radio stations for guidance, instead of looking to Father God, Yahweh, for the instruction, for the guidance that we need. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. We got to look to him so we will see how he established in this kingdom. God is using mankind or fatherhood to establish the kingdom in the earth realm. We must train the young men to be part of the kingdom. God created humankind in his image and in his likeness. Genesis chapter 1, verse 26 and 27. Somebody play with the phone. He made people to look and act like him. This connection applies even more to human fathers who are to look and act like the Father in leading their families. Everything that we do as men, as fathers, must resemble the actions of God. I think I heard Apostle Washington was talking something the other day in the message about love. We must show or teach our children, sons and daughters, not only the sons, but we must teach our sons and daughters how to love. Not just love their family members, but love those that are outside the immediate family. This is a problem that we are seeing in the earth realm today. Folk don't know how to love. They don't even know the source of love. I'm looking at this evangelist and the evangelist teaching. Trying to teach this young man about salvation. He's a college student. And he asked the young man about Jesus dying on a cross. The love of Jesus. How much Jesus loved the world. God loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. And the young man said he never heard about that. He is somewhere around 18 or 19 going to college. I have not heard. How can you live in a universe with so much of everything going on and you have not heard about
what?
Jesus dying on the cross? Because the fathers and the mothers are not teaching their children. They're busy trying to keep up with the Joneses and the Jeffersons. I was installing the ball yet, and the man was talking about, he was talking about his neighbor, which is my friend. And he was talking about he wanted his stuff done just like his neighbor's stuff done. We are starting trying to keep up with the next door neighbor in the physical realm. But what about the spiritual realm? Because we're not teaching. We are not teaching. We are getting the stuff to show you where. Well, you know, America now has some new jets. They're building these new jets that cost over $1 billion apiece. These supersonic jets they're building now for war. But we have all of these millions and millions of people that are sleeping on the streets, dying for starvation, dying in the heat of the sun and in the cold of the weather, winter, dying on the streets. But we are building instruments of destruction in this nation, in Russia, in Israel, in Germany, France, and Canada, all of these nations. Even you got millions of people dying in India from starvation. And they say they got this, the building units now that is so powerful. It's so powerful. I mean, that cost billions and billions of dollars. These war instruments of destruction. Because man is not focusing on replenishing the earth as God said to do, to be fruitful and multiply. They're looking to destroy themselves. We read that earlier. Because man is trying to be powerful, make himself as this super agent, when he really is nothing without God. We are nothing without the Father. No matter what we gain in this earth, if it's without God, we are nothing. He said, what would it profit a man to gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what can he give in exchange for his soul? Over there, Matthew. What would it profit you? We are trying to get more and more of God, so all I want you to do is be more like me. That's all you need. It's to be more as a father. To be more like your heavenly Father. Develop the characteristics of our Father Yahweh. Full of love and compassion. Perfect. Sovereign, holy, righteous, a forgiving Father, merciful, loving, kind, uncompromising, and loving unconditionally. That's what we need. If we would develop these little traits of God, we will find that the world will begin to change. Now they tell you that when you go, you have to be so careful because people are just killing people for no reason. They don't even have to know you. It may be an initiation, a gang initiation. And the first person that they get, they hurt, old or young. So you have to be careful. You have to be watchful, not afraid, but you got to be careful. I told somebody, told me yesterday. Jesus said, we're walking with Jesus. Jesus went into the Garden of Gethsemane. The Father, he's Father. He's Father, he's Son, and he's Holy Ghost. He went into the Garden of Gethsemane, preparing to go to the cross, to Calvary, for our sins. Sins that he didn't commit. And he asked Peter and John and James to just watch and pray with him. And he asked them to watch and pray, lest you fall into temptation. And I told him about that he is the most powerful human being on the earth, because he was God in the flesh. He had power. I mean, he could stop anything if he wanted to, but he told them to watch and pray lest they fall into temptation. And we want to go outside and go places and act like a chicken without a head. And then when stuff happened to us, we start crying. Well, why this happened to me? Like my daughter-in-law goes to the place, to the restaurant, and leave her phone on the table. Must she want to go to the bathroom? Must be. That's all I could say. Because I wouldn't do. But you got to always think that the enemy is trying to destroy you, trying to stop you, trying to deter you, trying to distract you and get you into a place that you walk away from God, from doing the things of God, honoring God, honoring the Father. And we find this happens so here, so quickly. Jesus Christ is the Son of God. The angel told Christ's mother Mary, she would conceive in her womb and bring forth a son, and he would be called Son of the Highest. In Luke chapter 1, verse 31 and 32. Now, I want you to understand, Jesus coming here as God in the flesh. Initially, it confused about how she would have a child without her husband. Mary learned that she would give birth to the Son of God through the power of the Holy Ghost, verse 35. Must know of Christ as God's Son, but few consider God's role as his Father. Jesus Christ talked about his Father throughout his earthly ministry. During his introductory sermon on the Mount, recorded in Matthew chapter 5, and 7, Christ referred to the Father 17 times. Aside from one time Jesus said, my Father, every reference was your Father or our Father. God wants to be a father to us all, realizing that the God of the entire Bible, both Old and New Testament, is a father, open words of possibilities for his human counterparts. Does have an entire book of perfect and proper examples of what a father is and what a father does. God fathered creation. He, along with Christ, made all things. Ephesians chapter 3 and 9. John chapter 1, verse 1 to 3. Including the first human family, which went on to fill the earth with children. Similarly, fathers create and build their own families. All creator has many characteristics and traits that make him an effective father. Consider the nine fruits or expressions of God's spiritual personality: love, joy, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, and temperance. Galatians chapter 5, verse 22. A man who exhibits these characteristics loves his wife and children, creates an atmosphere of joy and peace in his home, is willing to suffer long and be gentle when his children make mistakes, is kind and has faith in his family ability to overcome anything under his guidance, and who is himself humble and has self-control, is a father anyone would want. Here is one extended list of God's attributes for fathers emulate. Take the time to look up each verse as a Bible study. The Father. The Father is a leader. Number one, Psalm 58, Psalm 5 and verse 8, Isaiah 42 and 16, Ephesians chapter 5 and 1. Number two, the Father is a teacher. John chapter 6, verse 45, Isaiah 54 and 13, Psalm 71 and 17. Number three, the Father is a provider. Philippians 4 and 19, Matthew chapter 6, 31 to 33, Matthew chapter 7, verse 7 and verse 11. Number four, the Father is our example. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 16. Psalm 85 and 13. 1 John 2, chapter 2, verse 5 and 6. Number 5. The Father is loving, kind, and generous. 1 John chapter 4, verse 11. John chapter 3, verse 16. Romans chapter 2, verse 4. Number 6, the Father is consistent. Malachi chapter 3, verse 6. James chapter 1 and 17. Number 7, the Father is merciful and forgiving. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 7. 1 John 1 and 9, Luke chapter 6, verse 35 to 36, Psalm 130, verse 3 and 4. Number 8, the Father is disciplined. He disciplines when necessary. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 6, Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse 5. Number 9, the Father is a protector. Maybe that's number 10. 3, 6, 9. The Father is a protector. Psalm 23, verse 1. Apostle Washington ministered on that chapter recently. He's a good shepherd. Now, Isaiah chapter 41 and 10. Psalm 145 and 14. The Father, number 10. The Father is a provider. He provides guidance. Proverbs chapter 3, verse 6. Ephesians chapter 5 and 1. If we get these attributes or these characteristics of God, of the Father, and we follow them and we lay them, write them down and put them on the wall, put them on the fridge, so when we go to the refrigerator, we can see these things that these are just like fruits of the Spirit. And we begin to look at these and we kind of meditate on these 10 characteristics. We will find ourselves absorbing them in our mind, in our spirit man, and begin to activate them in our fatherhood, in our father status. You do not have to simply imagine a human family headed by a man with these qualities. God the Father openly sets himself as the standard. Leviticus chapter 20 and verse 7. Matthew chapter 5 verse 48. He is the original head of the human family and uses human fathers to develop and exhibit the qualities needed to lead their families the way he would. This may all sound unattainable for earthly fathers, but it is not. Remember, God uses the same word to describe himself. And men leading their families, fathers, let this inspire you. Be like the Father. The Father set the standard. God the Father, Yahweh, he set the standard for all fathers. But what we need to do as fathers, we need to get into the Word and get the Word in us. A natural question is, if you feel you have fallen short in any area of fatherhood, is where do I begin? The short answer to that question is, begin where you are. Your children are never too young or too old for you to change. Just as important, neither are you. You will always be their father, no matter how old they get. Becoming a better dad can feel daunting at first. But if a few basic biblical principles can help you start on the right track towards becoming like God the Father. You know, sometimes people say that you can never be like God, but that's not true. God has given us the instructions. He has given us the manuscripts to be like him. We're never going to be gods, but we can be like him. My son will never be me, but he can be like me. You understand? My daughters will never be like, can be their mother. They can never be their mother, but they can be like their mother. How were you saying, Apostle? They can take on her characteristics. They already have her DNA in them. We already have God's DNA in us. All we have to do is follow the instructions. He gave us the manuscript. It's the blueprint. It's just like getting in your car. You don't really know where you go. But if you put it in your navigator system, the car will lead you there. See, if I put it, God's word in my heart, David said, "Thy word have I hid in my heart that I will not sin against thee." If we put God's word in our heart, my pastor said, don't get in the word. Get the word in you. God used to tell him, I said, "Pastor, I'm going home and getting the word." He said, "No, son, stop going home and getting the word. Go home and get the word in you. If you get the word in you, the word will begin to be able to work. But you getting in the word. And all you do is getting the word, that's it. It's just like mixing water but not using it. What happened? I brought him some water from the job, and I said, well, you know what? I was so tired. I was touching all these holes that and the chimney, and where we took the pipes out the wall for the oil tank. We took the oil tank out the house, big old giant tank. And these holes now going through from the basement to the side of the house, so we had to pass them holes. And I come home, I was so tired. I had some of the mortar. I had some they call a heat-proof mortar. So once once it gets hot, it can stand heat. And so I come home and I brought home the bucket. And this little bucket I like, because it's not like a tall bucket. I got about four of them tall buckets I bought from Harbor Freight, but I got a short one, like it's about a foot high. And I said, man, I was so tired of time, I'm going to wash that bucket out in the morning. But do you know in the morning when I go in the garage to get that bucket? Man, that bucket was a solid rock. I mean, I could not. And then I think, well, you know, how foolish can you be? I know better than that. But I'm going to put water in the bucket, take the water, that the cement not going to soften itself up without being able to get up. No. I had to beat that bucket to get, to dislodge that cement from the walls of that bucket. And it still got a log inside the bucket. Now, but when you get that thing inside of you, I'm using that analogy, that when we get that word of God in us, it's hard to dislodge it. You cannot get rid of it because it's inside of you. That's why you see when people really get the word of God in their heart, it can go anywhere. You see a man can go, he starts around going back to church. I never want to be part of the church. But the church, he's the church. He said, talking about the building. I never want to be part of the church anymore. I ain't going to the church. But he got the word inside him. He got start drinking, start drugging, start smoking, all this different mind-altering substance. And you just start talking to him about God. See, start talking to him about God. That's why you don't even judge the book by the cover, because that man or woman on this bridge. And you start telling them, once they know the word and the word's in their heart, that thing will come alive. They can't get rid of it. It's just like the cement in that bucket. Man, it's hard as rock, cling to the walls of the bucket. I can't get the rid of it. I got to beat the bucket. I still got a lot in the bucket that I want to get it. I got to scrape and punch at it and shove it, try to get it. But the word of God must be inside of us like that. We must get it in us as men of God. If we're going to live and get our children to emulate who we are as we emulate who God is, we're going to have to activate everything about God in our life. Even when the way we respond to our wives, in front of our children or behind our children's back. Because some people say, well, we can't argue in front of the children. But what's the difference if you argue in front of them or behind their back? It's the same stupidity. When we say, well, I'm not going to argue with my wife in front of my grandchildren, in front of my children. But so they go to the house, I'm calling her name and that's enough. It's the same thing. It's the same. The children's just in here, but she here. It affects her spirit. So what we have to do, we have to be the husband to the wife and the father to the children. Hallelujah. So we must have this love ingrained in us from God that we're going to treat our wives the way we want God to treat us. And we're going to treat the children the way we want the children to respond to us and treat us. That's the way how we want. If not, the children will only come to you when they want you to do something to them, for them. Apart from that, they stay away from you. Just like we do to God. Not us for sake. But a lot of people only go to God. They'll call you and say, Pastor, I need you to pray for me. I'm going through all this stuff. Oh, they don't want God till they want something. Till they get a bad report from the doctor. Or the real estate officer or the bank, give them a bad report. I'm going to repossess your car. They want to come and call, want to talk to God now. Because they know God can change the heart of the king. He can change the bank teller, the bank manager heart. He can change the real estate office. So the customer, can you pray for me? Because I'm behind my mortgage. I'm behind my car note. But all the time, they don't want to talk to God. But that's what our children would do with us. If we don't show them the love and compassion, they'll only come to us when we want something. The good thing about our Father, that he's always there for us, even when we're not praying, even when we're not fasting. Even when we're not studying the Bible. Because why? He's the perfect Father. He's the perfect Father.
Amen.
He's the perfect Father. Thank you. Thank you, Pastor. He's the perfect Father. And we got to spend time with him. We have to make time for him. You know? We got to make time for him. You know, Apostle and Prophetess Millie, I was telling my wife yesterday, you know, there's nothing I wouldn't do for you guys. Nothing. It's not, well, we said nothing, but the right, correct manner, my wife always correct. There's not anything I wouldn't do for you guys except kill somebody. I won't kill nobody for you. You know, I'm not in here to take life. But I would do anything that's within the power of life, godliness for you guys. This is the truth. That's the way my heart is. Because the way you and Providence Millie hold on this ministry for God, for the kingdom, true. May that bless my heart. It blessed my heart.
Amen.
I mean, it blessed my heart. I felt it right in the center of my heart. I said, these people are working for God, not for David Callender. But at the same time, you was allowing God to bless me to bless these people in Africa and India. You know, I was so tired yesterday, and I still had to get on my phone and work. You know, I had stuff coming in from India, and I had to pray with the pastor over there. You know, so we're working for the kingdom, and that's what's important. And you were having problems with your legs and all that stuff. You're still working for the Lord. That's for God. That's because you're setting the standard. See, God already set the standard what he wants us to do. And when we obey the standard that God set for us, guess what happened? God honored us. No good thing would he before from us. I was talking to Minister on Dave Buckmas yesterday, and I'm going to tell you something. I'm putting this on Facebook. And she called me yesterday after the service with a powerful message. And she got a girlfriend who's African. And you know, anybody that's sitting your friend, you have to be very careful. There's a spray in the earth that is so terrible, Apostle. I mean, it is so terrible. If that person don't really understand the manuscript, if they don't really understand the manuscript that God has placed for his body, they will find themselves misusing the manuscript. And that's what the lady would do. Now she's trying to put Minister into a place of doubting who her husband is. And God gave me a word right after she finished ministering. I didn't even know what was going on. And I began to share the word. She says, Apostle, I was holding this stuff that this lady has taught to me. She always bringing this stuff to me. And she says, after I heard you share what you share, after the message, she says, I had to call you and tell you what this woman I said to me. And I just kissed her. She said, I know you're going to give me the song instruction. I just told her. I said, look, she may possess the right to say that she is your friend. But you got to know that everybody that says friend is not friend. They might do stuff, but they're not your friend. Because, see, you got something that you're carrying. You got something that you're carrying, Apostle. You got something that you're carrying that's very important to the devil. Believe what I'm telling you. That you carry, what we carry is important to the devil. The devil don't want to see it activated. And the devil is not going to use, he's not going to use some satanic force because he knows that you are gifted. Listen to me. This is what I'm saying to her, Apostle. This is for both of us. For all of us that can hear me, hear what God is saying right now. It's for all of us. The devil is not going to send one of his agents to come to distract us or delay us or destroy us because he knows we have spiritual eyes and ears to see and hear. I told her that. God said it yesterday. I posted on Facebook. You know, I posted on Facebook before she even talked to her. God, give me that word. Early in the morning, I post on Facebook. I thank God for having spiritual eyes to see and spiritual ears to hear. Because I hear more than what's being said, and I see more than what's being shown to me. Thank you.
Thank you, God.
So I told her, now, this lady may proclaim she's your friend. But what you have is so important to the devil. The devil don't want you to release it. Because he knows that it's disturbing his kingdom. Yes, he got a kingdom because God said so. One white man came on in 2011 on this land and tried to tell me, well, where's the devil kingdom? The devil ain't got no kingdom. So, well, Jesus said so. It's in the book of Matthew. Jesus says he got a kingdom, and he said that a kingdom, or a house divided cannot stand. And if Satan's kingdom is divided, will not stand. So Satan does have a kingdom. His kingdom is his ages, all of his demons that he has. That's his kingdom. A king has to have something to rule. Not land, not buildings, it's people. Okay. So I said, Satan's going to use somebody close to you. I told her. And I don't care if the woman says she's a prophetess or a prophet. What she says here, that's about Satan using her. And she will sleep with all types of people saying she's a prophetess. If she feel like it, so she's going to believe that your husband, because you're not in Nigeria with your husband, that your husband's sleeping with other women. And she wants to put that spirit inside you. Don't you receive that spirit. And I told her, I said, so from now on, every time she calls you with a dream, you tell her that you're not interested in dreams. Tell her, shut her down. Don't even listen to the beginning of the dream. When she starts, says she got a dream, tell her, look, I'm not interested in dreams. And so I'll talk to you later. Bye-bye. That's how you shut down the devil. Don't give the devil a chance to put release nothing in your spirit. Faith come by hearing and hearing by the word of God. Don't give the devil. God. Every time the devil come with a thought, say, no, I'm not interested in that. I'll talk to you later.
Amen.
No disrespect, but I got to go. Shut it down. Tell him, Minister Andre, she got to go back to Nigeria and have sex with her husband. She wants her. If she wants her. Protect her marriage. No, you don't have to protect. The man's a godly man. The man loved the Lord. He was celibate before he met her. He was celibate. He was loving living for God before he met her.
Amen.
But this woman trying to put all type of discord and doubt in the woman and the minister's mind. I said, no, shut her down, claiming she's your friend. She's going to tell you that your husband must be missing you. He's sleeping with other women over there. No, shut that joker down. That's the devil. That's the devil.
That's right.
He said, now you wouldn't have no time to study God's word. You can't pray.
That's right.
But now you're worrying about this foolishness that she put in your mind. Shut it down. Shut it down. My father had not given me the spirit of fear. He gave me the power, love, and the sound mind. And what God gives you, no devil can take from you. Father, when God gives you something, no devil can take it from you. Look, let me give you a little bit more of this sermon here. Ah, my God, Jesus. Look, becoming a better God, I give you that. Listen to this. You have heard it said that the man is the head of the home and that his wife must submit to him. Such language is typically met with an eye roll or scoff. This is mostly because it is taken out of the context God intended. Read all of Ephesians chapter 5, verse 22 to 29. This passage describes marriage and the parental relationship like a human body. All living bodies have a head attached to it. The human head cannot function without a body to supply it with life-giving blood, and to help it move around. At the same time, the human body with his chest, torso, arms, legs, hands, and feet must be directed by a brain that sits inside it, its head. The label head of the house is not code for a man's wife and children being its slaves, merely existing to do his every bidding. God told the husband and father to see his wife and family as an extension of himself. The body is no better than the head, and the head is no better than the body. Do not miss the point. The man and the woman need each other in 1 Corinthians chapter 11 and 11. I think Apostle was over there last time. Now, God told the husband and the father see his wife and family as an extension of himself. The body is no better than the head, and the head no better than the body. It's very important that we don't put ourselves above who God is said we are. We have to work together. The body and the head got to work together. Got to work together. Now, you don't see a body going down the street and the head going up the street. They got to go together. You understand what I'm saying? So, and we must understand that the wife and the children are not a footstool to the head of the house. Because sometime a man come home and he put his foot on the coffee table. And he believes the woman got to run from the bedroom to the bathroom to the kitchen to the living room all around like she's a puppet. No, that's not what God called him for. We must work, operate in unison. Understand? This is how it becomes the body for Christ to use it. Because we're working in unison, or we're working in one as one unit. You understand? Because this is Father's Day, now I don't go up in the bed and lay down and say, well, my wife got to get me everything I need because it's Father's Day. We're celebrating Father's Day. Because that's not the way it's supposed to. We're still working together. She's celebrating who I am as God's servant, as God's father to this family in this house. You understand? But we're still working together. And some men say, well, I'm not going to do nothing today because this is Father's Day. She got to make my coffee. She got to bring my lunch. And she got to make my dinner. I ain't doing nothing today. Promise that you're getting ready to destroy your marriage. We're together. We celebrated Mother's Day together. We celebrated Father's Day together. Hallelujah. We're working together. The body is one. That's what he says. The head can do nothing without the body. The body can do nothing without the head. We got to do this thing together. Hallelujah. When we get it, we'll get it. Now, it is crucial to keep in mind that the man is not the one ultimately in charge, God says. The head of every man is Christ, you understand? We take the scripture out of context because God said you're the head. You're acting like a fool. Stop doing that. You got to make sure that you put Christ above the above you and above your wife. Above me, above Nancy. He is the one ruling everything that we do. So what we do, we must do to please him. I'm not going to degrade her because he says, God says I'm the head. I'm still in subjection or in submission and committed to him. And as long as I am father, I got to commit to the ultimate father, the Yahweh, the perfect father. I must submit and commit to him. Thank you, Bishop. I must submit and commit to him at all times. The head of every man is Christ, and the head of every woman is the man. And the head of Christ is God. 1 Corinthians chapter 11 and 3. How often have you heard this verse? Probably not nearly as much as the ones twisted to justify men's being domineering to their wives and mistreating them and their children. God the Father leads Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ leads human fathers. Human fathers lead their wives and wives lead their children. It is all set up to work seamlessly so long as everyone knows and fulfills their roles. We have to work together. I'm going to stop there today. I got a lot more of this to give you. But I got a lot of scripture here. I read a lot of stuff. But tell me something. We have to understand that we got to work together. The family unit must work together. This is where we got to train. I told my wife here, I said, no, something. You have to, she don't like to use the word train. But so I have to change the word. I said, you got to instruct Samara. Let her learn how to wash dishes. She's 20 years old. Let her learn how to load the dishwasher, unload the dishwasher. Teach her how to cook. I'll teach her how to cook. She said, well, no, we'll go to dinner. No. You want to take care When you get a husband, you want to be able to cook for your husband and cook for your children and stuff. You're not going to always run to the restaurant. You ain't going to have no money. The restaurant food going to get more and more expensive, more and more dangerous to eat anyway. You're going to want to cook your own stuff, grow your own stuff. So I told her, because you have to set the standard. God set a standard for us. We have to set a standard for them. We got to train them, teach them. When I was a young man, and I was back in the Caribbean in Barbados, my mama was in the kitchen. I'd be in the kitchen. And I watch how my mama make everything. I watch how she put the spices and all that stuff in the food. And I was just watching her. She let me stand up right there. She said, you watch. Because when you get over, when you go to Canada, I went to Canada first. I was in Canada for 3 years. She said, when you go to Canada or America or England or some country, if you don't have a wife and you have to take care of yourself, you don't know how to wash your clothes, you don't know how to earn, you know how to cook. You know all this stuff. You know, when I met my wife, she didn't know none of this stuff. I taught her all this stuff. I taught her to cook. You know, because all these folks, they run to the hotel, run to the laundromat, they run to this place and the cleans and all that stuff, and they go to the restaurant and all, they spend all that money. I taught her to cook, because I cooked in a restaurant here in Boston. When I came from Florida to Boston, I was cooking in a restaurant. So I knew all this. I know how to cook. I didn't want to stay there because they weren't paying us no money. I wanted to get a job that I could make money. So I went to school for plumbing, heating, and air conditioning. And when the boys were smoking the marijuana, I was in a plumbing and electrical class. I was in the classroom learning how to install pipes, how to fix everything. I came in from here yesterday. Tired. When I came in here, I had to go over to my mother-in-law's house. She had water coming out the back of the lady that come and clean for her, tell her where the toilet was leaking water. Well, I went in there. She said, you finished already? And she's always want to pay something. Well, I must be going to get a small bill on her. I said, Mother, you know you're going to get no bill from me. You know, she always pays for independent, you know. She said, I must be going to get a small bill. I said, no, you won't get no bill from me, Mother. Can you finish it ready? Yeah. Then I had to go fix the kitchen sink faucet. It was a little shaky, you know. But God gives me that. He gives me that. You know, the devil can't take what God gives to you. Don't care how much the devil tries to do, he can't take what God has given to you. That's why I tell the minister on there. And God give you something, the devil going to try, though. Don't get mad with the devil when he's trying to take your stuff. Don't get mad. That's his job. His job is to stop you from praying. His job is to stop you from singing. His job is to stop you from studying the Word of God. That's his job. And your job is to get up and open your Bible and open your mouth and tell God how wonderful he is, what a great father he is. Your job is to open your mouth. Don't shut up and say, well, I ain't going to pray because I don't like that minister. I ain't going to pray because I don't like that prophet. Who's the prophet? Prophet God of heaven or earth to put you in? You're going to let some prophet stop you from talking to your daddy? You're going to let some preacher stop you from praying? You don't have to go to the building to pray. Wherever you are, start your prayer. Start your sanctuary. Make that your sanctuary right where you are. Your heart is your altar. It's your altar. So start praying right there. You're right there. Open your mouth and start talking to God right where you are. I ain't going to pray. I ain't going down to that church building. Man, I don't need to go to church building. They didn't have church building. People were praising God, and God was shaking rocks and shaking the sky and the valleys and everything. They didn't have a building. Now remember when they destroyed the temple, what did they do? They would go from place to place and send up a tent. Send up a tent to be out the sun. And they were going in that tent and praying. They had no big fancy building. Wherever they get, they set up a tent. Put some top over it to shelter them from the sun. And it was underneath that tent, just praising God. We said, well, I can't pray because, you know, I don't go to the building anymore, man. Wherever you are, make that the building. Right there in the parking lot, make that the building. You are the church. Right where you are, let that be the building and praise God. So, Father, we just thank you and praise you, O God, for this word that you gave us today. And thank you for the apostle who came on and heard the word, the bishop, and thank for deacon. And all those that listen to my weird satellite system, Lord, we just thank you today for such a wonderful day. And Lord, more, we thank you for being such a wonderful Father, Lord, that you love us enough to lay down your life for us, Lord God. We just thank you and praise you right now, God, for all that you have done, all that you are doing, and all that you will do for us, God. Oh, my Father, my Savior, and my soon coming King, we pray that you would continue to watch over us, that you will continue to keep us, that you will continue to shelter us and shield us from all hurt, harm, and danger, Lord. Lord, we thank you for providing for us when we can't provide for ourselves, oh God. And Lord, we thank you for healing us when we don't even know what's ailing us, what's causing the pain, Lord. We thank you, Father God. We don't even know where the infirmity came from. But Lord, we thank you that you are the one who can send it back where it came from. And Father, we just honor you right now. We honor you for being the ultimate Father, for being the source of everything that we hope for, Lord. And now, Father, we ask that we turn this line, ask that Bishop is ready, if he's able to do a prayer of salvation today. I don't know if he is situated to do it. If not, we're just going to open the line,
yeah.
And we'll just go on just like that. If he can come on in, we would appreciate it. Just for somebody out there, some father out there that is going through right now that just needs to hear that he can give his life, turn his life over to God and say, Lord, I'm sorry for my sin. And just turn his life over right now. It will be greatly appreciated. Come on in, Bishop, if you're available. Okay. Yeah.
Anybody there? Anybody on? Anybody there? Apostle, you there? Apostle, you there? Anybody there? Apostle, you there? Been there, anybody there, Apostle?
The healing of God, so we can, as you said in the prayer, sustain us. He sustain us. I love you guys so much. God bless. God bless us.
Bye-bye.